Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome to another episode of eLaborate Topics. I am your host, Lona Small. eLaborate Topics is a weekly podcast where myself and my co-host, Tywana Wilson and Stephanie Whitehead, come to you to bring you topics to help you to excel both inside and outside the lab. And a little bit about myself. I am a quality assurance specialist, and I'm a process improvement consultant, and I'm a lab trainer and coach for lab OPEX training and consulting. And today I'm going to bring you a topic that's very relevant for this time. And I know a lot of lab leaders at this time, they're trying to figure out exactly how to navigate all the changes that's taking place, especially now what we probably could consider post-pandemic changes. Due to the pandemic, a lot of challenges were encountered. We were able to survive them with a lot of residual effects that even now we're going to have to make some changes as a result of the pandemic, moving on, as we call, the new norm. So today I'm going to talk about leading through change as an impactful leader. And so I'm going to take a framework that I've used in my training before, my training from a technical expert to an impactful leader, the same framework can be utilized at this time. So if you are dealing with changes and you want to be able to navigate them or lead and still be impactful, there are four things that you'd need to follow. So the first thing is to be aware of your situation. Be aware of your current situation. And for busy organizations or busy workplace, it's usually very difficult sometimes to stop and see where we are. I know in the lab there's a lot of changes even without the pandemic. There are like usually equipment changes, sometimes lab information system changing. There's just a lot of regular routine monthly things that have to be done in terms of QC, quality indicators that have to be monitored for leaders who have to do like financial reports. So it just keep going on and on, you know, inspection that's going on. And so it's usually difficult to stop to see what's my current situation. Where am I now? And, you know, because we have so limited time and there's always things to do, we just keep going. And many times it takes something like the pandemic, unfortunately, for us to sit back and start looking at where we are and what we need to do differently. So that awareness is important. So I think of a scenario for me whenever I'm going to do a process improvement, especially if there's a project that's given, say, for instance, by the hospital or given from a higher up and it's not something that's identified by us. Usually people want a end results, they already decide on what the solution is. And just coming out of this recent project, I was asked to come up with an escalation plan for whenever phlebotomy has difficult sick and they've exhausted, you know, everything that they could do, to come up with a workflow or a process. But even with that project, we had to look at our current state. We had to see what is it that we're doing, even as phlebotomists, that we could improve to improve the process before we even start thinking of what happened after phlebotomists had difficult sick. And just looking at our current state, not only on just for phlebotomy, but looking at our current state with communication to the unit and how the providers or physician make decisions, we were able to identify a lot of waste or a lot of opportunity to improve even before we start thinking of an escalation pathway. So it's important to know your current process. And Maya Angelou says it best. She said, you can't really know where you're going until you know where you've been. And for me, as a process improvement and transformational coach, I usually say you cannot know if you have transformed unless you know where you've started. Just like someone who want to lose weight, and the only way they're going to know that they actually lost weight is by knowing where they were, what was their current weight, and so you can measure. So that's kind of why it is important to be aware of your current situation before you think of any change effort. So what I'm going to do for people who have a pen and paper, and if you don't, you could get one, is to go through an exercise of how do you figure out your, or how do you become aware of your current state? And it's good to look at different aspects. And if we're looking at, say, the lab, if you're a leader in the lab, you could look at yourself as a leader. You could look at your team. You could look at your structure and just divide those into three different areas. And for each area, you want to look at what is going good and what's going not so good and what's going terrible. So you could just draw that out on a almost like a table with leader, team, and structure going down in one column. After each other, you leave a lot of space. And then the next column would be going good. Then the next column would be not so good. And then the next one would be terribly. So for the leader, you'd look what's going good, what's not so good, and what's terrible. Maybe for you, if you're a leader, you could look at how prepared were you for the job, how are you relating to your boss could be one thing. You could be looking at things like relating to your team. What kind of support system do you have? These are just examples, but for you, you know what's going on in your current environment. Be aware of that and document what's going good, what's not so good, and what's going terribly. Do the same thing for your team. Same thing could be how prepared your team members are. What kind of training process is there, or training program is there? Is it adequate? You could look at, do we have enough generalists on the team? You could look at the seniority of your team. Is it, do we have more tenured staff, not enough of people who are, you know, fresh out of school or middle? Or is it just mostly young people just coming out of school in terms of seniority? Or do you have a good mix? But decide what's going good for you, what's not so good, and what's going terribly when it comes to your team. You know, what's about teamwork, staff engagement, things like conflict, staff turnover. Those are examples for a team. For your structure, look at, you know, your general environment. Is it siloed? You know, do we have good procedures in place as a structure for your lab? Is it that we just try to follow the status quo? So even if there's something that needs to change for improvement, it's usually very challenging because of that. What about, you know, when I think of structure, you could think of a hierarchical setup. Is it really hierarchical where decisions are hard to be made? You know, just generally, what structure do you have? What's going good? What's not so good, and what's going terribly? So basically, that's the exercise that you do when it comes to awareness. So you start with awareness before you start thinking of leading any change. The next thing is acceptance. So it's first important to accept where you are before you can even decide on moving forward. Because, and when I think of acceptance, it's not so much acceptance as even though it's going bad, it's acceptable. So it's not about being acceptable or ideal, but it's more about accepting that this is a reality. Because if it's not a reality for you, then that's not something that you will address. And like for me, I can think of a situation where when I was given an opportunity to be a supervisor in a histopathology lab, when I walked in the lab, it was just so much disarray. And there was a lot of backlog for over 6 months. And not only that, there was a backlog, there were things like everywhere. And my first initial response was, like, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they organize things? Why didn't they send certain things out? You know, they should have done that. But standing there and saying what they should have done and why didn't doesn't change things. So until I decided to let's do something now, reorganizing things, coming up with a system to get the most urgent specimen out and prepared and ready to be read by the pathologist, then nothing changed. So like I said, you know, it's important to accept where you are so you can know how to address whatever change that you need to make. Like going to the dentist and the dentist say you have a cavity. If you ignore or don't accept that you have a cavity, you're going back home with a toothache. So accepting you have a cavity and doing something about it, you know, put, you know, if you have to do filling or whatever. So that's exactly what I'm talking about when I mention acceptance. So I'm going to give you an exercise for your situation to make sure that you're accepting. And before that, I'm going to, a poem, The Serenity Prayer, and it says, God give me the serenity to know the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So there are certain things, and I think I said it wrong. God give me the courage to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So In this exercise, basically, I'm going to ask you to look at the things that are going not so good and the ones that are going terribly, and decide the things that you can change and the things that you're going to leave behind. So you're going to use that wisdom to decide on things that you think that maybe, you know, don't need the effort and the energy, and you're going to put your energy on things that are important that you need to move forward with. So I'm just going to use some examples that may not even be relevant in your lab, but say, for instance, you're the type of person that take on everything that comes your way, every job, even if it's not going to make a difference, it's not going to have any impact on anything, but you feel as if you shouldn't say no. So you're like basically doing a lot of busy work. You know, before you know it, you're organizing shelves that somebody else could organize. You're just doing everything. So instead of, you could decide to leave behind the busy work and say, you know, that's going to be left behind. If, say, for instance, you're one of those that people feel as if they can come to you with every complaint or talk about with staff that's not doing what and spend sometime an hour out of your day doing that, then that could be something that you could leave behind. So go through and decide on the things that you need to leave behind and the things that you want to move forward with. So you're going to have a column that says leave behind and one that says can change. So now we're filtering down to things that are more impactful, things that are important that's going to make a difference to your lab. The next thing you're going to look at is accountability. So you have gone through awareness of your situation, what's going good, not so good, and terrible. You have decided that you're going to accept things, and the ones that you need to leave behind, you're going to accept it, and the ones that you can move forward with and change, you make that decision. So now accountability with, for the lab, is usually one of the, we hear that a lot, and most time when we hear about accountability, if you just refer to somebody else, you know, the team need to be more accountable. This other department need to be more accountable. We need to set up an accountability program. And it's usually geared at someone else. But in this situation, we're going to use accountability as leadership accountability. So this is a little different. I know many times we find ourselves in situations, even in our personal lives, where things go wrong, and because of what was happening surrounding the situation, we could either blame other individuals that are involved, or we could blame the situation. And so, as a leader, we're going to talk about leadership accountability. So in terms of leadership accountability, I think of Harry Truman. And Harry Truman has a sign on his desk that says, "The buck stops here." And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to take responsibility and say, "The buck stops here." Quick story, Johnson & Johnson is a case study where they had Tylenol that a few people, I think it was, I'm not sure how many people died of Tylenol. And the CEO of Johnson & Johnson came out immediately and announced to the public and to all of the, basically to the public, to stop using Tylenol, remove Tylenol from all shelves, and then started to investigate how did that happen. So they took responsibility because Tylenol was a Johnson & Johnson product. So they took responsibility before figuring out how Tylenol got tampered with, before start pointing finger. And even though it was at a risk of taking that responsibility and asking people to stop taking Tylenol, because based on what I heard, it was like over $100 million lost in terms of the amount of inventory that was out there that they had to pull and get rid of. And that was risking their reputation, risking, you know, the lawsuit and everything. But they believed in that kind of accountability. And the good thing about the story is that in the end, they gained respect from the public and they gained trust from the public. And so that's why leadership accountability is important, because what that does is build trust on your team. And building trust on your team kind of is really important in helping your team to stay together. And it also helps your team from actually leaving your organization. So leadership accountability, we don't put enough focus on leadership accountability. But in this case, we're going to take responsibility for where we are. So we're not going to be saying, oh, it's the CEO that's causing this to happen in my lab, or it's the previous manager, or it's the team members. We're going to take responsibility. So the exercise for this session is go back and look at the things that you said can change. Look at the things that are going good. And right beside each of them, what you're going to take responsibility for. And I know when I do this exercise, most leaders put for everything that they're going to move forward to change, that they'll take responsibility for that. So you're moving, if you notice, you're filtering things out and you're moving things forward that are important, things that you feel that you want to take responsibility for. But the next step is commitment. And in this step, before you even make that commitment, it's more about setting a vision for what changes you want to make. So even though you're looking at what's going good and you're looking at what can change, it's very important for you as a leader to have a personal vision or end goal for your team. So based on all the things that's going on, say, for instance, you have a vision or a goal to have your team member that's maybe more flexible or trained as a generalist, or people who can work kind of a different kind of shift that you have a vision for, or people who can work hybrid, whatever it is that right now as a result you see it as you have that vision to have a better or more effective team based on the experiences that you have had. You realize that if we had these things in place, we'd probably have a more effective team. So you as an impactful leader, the exercise that you're going to do is to spend some time in a quiet place and start envisioning what you think would be ideal for your lab. And you can give yourself, say, within the next year, this is what I'd want to see, because this change does not happen overnight. So set a vision for yourself as a leader, your team, and the structure, and come up with at least one or two statements once you have set that vision that you want as a goal. So the commitment is going to be starting out with a goal statement. So you want to set a goal statement, and I know most leaders know what it is to write a goal statement. So it could be like a SMART goal. So I'm going to use one student that I have, the example that they have. So when they did their vision, they what came out of it was that it said that our lab has an improved and organized training plan for lab leaders with a focus on career development. And then there's another one. As a matter of fact, this person was looking forward to the end of the year. And at the time, it was 2020, and he said, it is December 2021, and I am thankful that our lab has an improved and organized training plan for lab leaders with a focus on career development. I have played a role on improving communication with the lab and among departments outside the lab, and I have better utilized frontline staff to improve the safety program of the lab. So that was the vision that this person had. And for you, it could be something different. So based on that vision, they came up with a goal. And the goal said that by December 2021, I will create new ways to promote lab quality and safety to improve patient care at our facility. They actually had two goals. By December 2021, I will improve the training materials I provide on specimen integrity and safety to materials that are relevant to the lab environment and patient caregivers. So you could come up with one goal statement that could cover everything, or you could come up with two statements. And we talk about SMART goals. You want to make sure it's specific. There's something specific that you want as a goal. It's measurable. It's something that is attainable, and it's realistic, and it's time-bound. And if you notice, for this person, the way they had theirs, it is, you know, they set it up in a SMART goal. So basically, the commitment is going to be your SMART goal changed to a present tense. So if you have a goal that says by December 2021, I will create new ways to promote lab quality and safety to improve patient care at our facilities, then you're going to say, as a present tense, you're going to say, I am creating new ways to promote lab quality and safety to improve patient care at our facilities. So you make a goal, but then your commitment statement is going to be present. This is what I'm doing. And so you're going to use that commitment statement throughout the year. But that's not all. You want to make sure that there's some action that you're taking. You set the goal, you have a commitment, but you need to come up with an action plan. So with the action plan, you're basically breaking down your goal into different activities. So for this person who says they want to create new ways to promote lab quality and safety, they want to set a time that they want to get that done. So the action step would be to promote lab quality and safety to improve patient care in the facility. When do they want to get that done by? And then their other thing is improving the training material I provide on specimen integrity and safety. So then you're going to break that down as another activity. And so you break it down into different activity, and You could work on that for the first 8 months before the year so that you can have time to tweak it. So basically what you're going to do is set up activities that you're going to break down, and then set up milestones and then work on it. Now, because this is a framework, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but that's the general gist that you're coming up with. You want to have clarity about where you're trying to go, and you want to have focused action steps. You don't want to be in a situation where there's so many things coming by you that you cannot focus on any action. So once you identify these commitment statements, everything else is a distraction. So your commitment statement is something that you're going to work on for a year or 6 months, depending on whatever it is and the time that you think you have to do it. So these are just tools that will help you to be very impactful when you're going through changes, because many times people are trying to navigate change and they're bombarded with so many things that you don't get to be focused and you don't get to get any results from the changes that you want. So filtering these things that you need to do, focusing on what's important, leaving behind the things that are not important, and then moving forward with that as a commitment, have that as something that you're seeing yourself in the present moment accomplishing, although you have an action step to do that and you're working on. Another thing that's very important when you're working on stuff is to get support. So you get support of your team, you get them together to get ideas, you may have to have additional training in different areas or seek out expertise in different areas in your group to get this done. So, you know, I tried to compress a whole workshop to help you today. And if you need any additional information on this or further training or just support, you can always reach out to me. Of course, my information will be in the notes from the show. So thank you for your time. And I know this is really challenging. This is really a challenging time for everyone. And there's a lot of changes that we have to navigate. So good luck, and reach out to me anytime if you need help. So thank you for listening, and continue to listen to Elaborate Topics podcast on directimpactbroadcasting.com or on any of your favorite platforms for podcasts. And also you can reach out to us by email. You can email us at elaboratetopics@directimpactbroadcasting.com. If you want to access to the podcast on any topics that you're interested in, or if you want to come on as a guest on the show, you can email us. And so I enjoy sharing this with you. And until we talk again, have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.